Hello, this is Dr. Gary Sherman, the Heart Guy, and I welcome you to another exciting and informative podcast titled The Heart Guy Presents the Heart of the Matter, bringing you interesting discussions and conversations related to the vast and important subject of heart disease, heart failure, and organ donation, and everything related to that in today's ever-changing world. I'm extremely honored to have as my special guest today a young man who's a hero in the hearts of many people throughout this country, and specifically has become an inspiring leader in the world of organ donation, Joey Gase. Joey Gase was born on the 8th of February, 1993. Joey currently competes full-time in the NASCAR Cup Series, driving the number 51 car for Rick Ware Racing. Joey started racing at Hawkeye Down Speedway in the tracks junior classes in 2001 at 8 years old. Oh my, I'll be asking you about that for sure, because around here, eight-year-olds play baseball and soccer. But while he's best known for being a race car driver on the NASCAR circuit, Joey's an extremely important figure in our community of organ donation, as he is himself a donor's son and the recipient of the inaugural Comcast Community Outreach Award and AATB Communication and Education Groundbreaker Award. Finally, and most importantly, Joey is the father of two incredible, identical twin boys, Carson and Jace. Joey's been gracious enough to take time out of his very busy schedule to speak with me about his very productive young life, and I'm honored to welcome you, Joey. Welcome to the Heart of the Matter.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on today.
Oh, yeah, thanks. No, the pleasure is ours. So first of all, before I begin to ask you about your already extraordinary life, I'd like to point out that you and I have a few things in common. And number one for both of us, as you've already suggested to me, is that I'm also the father of two boys, although they are not twins. They're 5 years apart, but they have and always will be the center of my universe, as Carson and Jace are for you.
Awesome.
Number two, my son, Jesse, the younger one, was born the same year as you, 1993. So while I don't feel like it, I guess I'm old enough to be your father. And third, as I await the gift of a heart myself, looking like that could take place in Wisconsin, where I know that you have many fans there already. We are both deeply entrenched in advocating for organ donation. So I just want to mention that, certainly. So if I understand this correct, again, you were racing at just 8 years old. I'm a Long Islander, as I said, and where I come from, eight-year-olds play soccer and baseball. Tell me a little bit about how and why you got started in racing.
Yeah, you know, racing is something that ever since I can remember, I've been a huge fan of and always loved and always wanted to do. My dad raced before I did, just at the local short track level. So I grew up in it. I loved watching my dad race, loved helping him and my uncle work on his car in the shop. And, you know, I just lived and breathed it. You know, it was something that wasn't, I don't think, really pushed on to me, but it was just something that I just loved and just always fell in love with and always wanted to do and always wanted to talk about. When I was actually got my first go-kart when I was four, that I just drove around in the yard and in the driveway. And then when I was eight, my dad and my uncle got me my first competitive racing go-kart. And we actually went out and won my very first race out, which was really cool.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. So you grew up in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, going to bonfires and your friends' houses. Please share with me a little bit about your formative years in Cedar Rapids. What was that like as a teenager?
Yeah, I grew up in Cedar Rapids and I still go back there all the time. All my family and friends still live back there and we're actually going back this Sunday. But, you know, Iowa, Cedar Rapids, it's a good Iowa town. You know, it's not a small town, but it's not a big town either. You know, it's just big enough to where you go somewhere, you don't know everyone there, but most likely you're going to run into somebody that that knows you. But grew up, went to a Catholic school all my life, tried to live life the best I could. And it was great. I love Cedar Rapids and loved everything that Iowa in general taught me.
Yeah, well, good to go home again. I know even I go home once in a while to my hometown, which isn't too far from where I live now. So I'm going to shift gears a little bit. From what I have read and saw, your mom, Mary Jo, was beautiful inside and out. Could you talk a little bit about who your mom was?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like you just said, my mom, she was a very loving and caring person. And, you know, being her son and all that and being young, it was something you never really thought about, you know, a whole lot. She was just your mom. But, you know, she cared a lot about others and she cared a lot about always setting a good example for me and my sister. And any time she thought she maybe didn't set a good example for us, she made sure to backtrack and apologize and, you know, say maybe that wasn't the right thing to do. But, you know, it was, she really was a great person and loved me and my sister and so many people so much. And she was a hairstylist. And, you know, that was another thing I didn't think a lot about, but she was a lot more than just a hairstylist. And I found that out. Unfortunately, you know, when she passed away, I had people for all over the nation reaching out to us, you know, that maybe no longer lived in Cedar Rapids, but, you know, they loved my mom and she was more of, I guess I would say, a therapist or a guidance counselor, just a great friend, than just a hairstylist. And I think that really made her special. And when she passed away, people from all over were reaching out to me, telling me how special and important my mom was to them. And that was something, you know, that was just so eye-opening to me. And, you know, the day of her wake, the line went out the door the entire time and never stopped. And, you know, it, like I said, I never knew, you know, like I was a kid, so I never put much thought into, you know, how awesome or how special my mom was. And unfortunately, you know, it took that to happen to realize how cool of a person my mom really was.
Yeah. It's so funny that you mentioned that about her being a hairstylist, because my friend Nick, who lives in Florida now, he was our hairstylist when I was young. We lost touch with him for 30-odd years, but he has recently gotten his hair transplant.
And wow.
The thing that he looked forward to most was getting back to work. So not so much that he can cut hair, but that he could interact with the people in the community. So
yeah.
I think what you're describing is real familiar to me. It's so interesting that you mentioned that. So shout out to Nick. I'm in touch with him a lot. He's doing great with his new heart. So it's interesting that you say that. If it's not too difficult, can you share a bit about the event that took place that led you to be involved in organ donation?
Yeah, unfortunately, my mom passed away when I was 18 years old, and I was just about ready to graduate high school. And she was 44 years old. And we thought, you know, she was a perfectly healthy person. She ate right, worked out all the time, and nutrition and fitness was something that was definitely the top of her list. And unfortunately, she passed away of a center brain aneurysm. And, you know, it was something I didn't know really anything about. We were thrown into it. And, you know, I don't think it was something my mom really knew a whole lot about either. She suffered from migraines all the time, and they actually did a lot of research and work on trying to help solve that issue for her. And unfortunately, it was something they were never able to find. So when she had her aneurysm, we don't know how long she was actually having it. And since she had migraines all the time, we think she thought she was just having another migraine, unfortunately. But I took her to the hospital. Unfortunately, there was nothing more they could do. And there was way too much pressure on her brain. And ultimately, she was brain dead, which was, you know, super unexpected and came out of nowhere. And, you know, when someone's like that, it looks like they're just sleeping. So it can be very hard to accept that, I guess you would say. But when that happened, the doctors asked us if she'd like to be an organ donor. It was something we never really talked about before, but we knew she was a very loving and caring person. And the one thing she did talk about all the time was how she wanted to be a blood donor. But since my mom was a very short and very tiny person, there's actually a minimum weight you have to weigh to be able to be a blood donor. So she couldn't do that. But so we knew she could no longer continue her life. She wanted to do what she could help others continue theirs. So we said yes. And later we found out she is able to help save and improve the lives of 66 people, which was amazing to us. And, you know, the other really good thing was when we went home and found her driver's license, she was already a registered donor, which meant the world to us that we made the right decision.
Yeah.
And it was something, you know, just a lot of people don't think about or talk about. And I was 18 and I had my driver's license, and I actually had to physically take out my driver's license and look and see if I was a registered donor, because I couldn't even remember if I was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that's the same for a lot of people. And I definitely want to help change that and not only get people to register to be donors, but get people to have that talk with their loved ones. So if they're ever in the same situation my family and I were in, it would be a much easier decision, and they for sure would make the right decision.
Yeah, amazing. And you know, obviously had a, I'm sure you were already mature to begin with, but you had to grow up real fast in making those decisions. And certainly you made some astoundingly good decisions there that she would have certainly approved of, obviously. And it's something that we're trying to get a lot of people here, especially older people, to get that on their driver's license, because that's the way it usually goes, although it can be done online. But your mom affected two particular people as far as organs go. Can you talk a little bit about those two people?
Yeah, we've been fortunate enough to actually meet two of my mom's recipient. One's a recipient of her kidney, and or a kidney, and one the other one is a recipient of her her liver. That really put a lot into perspective. A lot of people only think of the one recipient getting that organ, but they don't realize that they're affecting way more people than that through the ripple effect. And when I was able to meet them, you know, that really put all that in perspective, because I didn't only meet them, you know, I met their family as well. So, you know, you're not only affecting the one individual, you're affecting all their friends and their family and coworkers and classmates and all that on top of that. So you're really helping thousands of people. And it's really crazy to see that. And, you know, to see how thankful they are and their entire family and how great of people they are was really, really cool. And knowing that a weird feeling, knowing that my mom wasn't a donor, that they may not be here today. And, you know, that she's still living on through them as well.
Absolutely. And that's so true. The ripple effect, such an important thing for people to be aware of, that we're affecting so many people when we do that one action to put our name on our driver's license. That's great. And thank you for that. Thank you for all of that. So you're an extremely popular driver on the NASCAR Cup Series, which this New Yorker is officially a fan of moving forward. at this point, I'm happy to start watching more, especially the way the Yankees have been playing this year. I need somebody to root for, so I'll be rooting for you. But you do something extraordinary with your race cars before every race. Could you share what you do with me for your fans in the organ donor community with your race cars?
Yeah, when I wanted to do something to honor my mom and raise awareness and honor all donors out there. So it was about a little more than a year after my mom passed away. I was making my first then Nationwide Series, which is now Xfinity Series start or second start. And I wanted to do something to do that. So I reached out to one of the local hospitals back in Iowa and told them what I wanted to do. And they told me they weren't able to do that, but they could get me in touch with the right people that could make that happen. So they put me in touch with the great people of Iowa Donor Network, which is who my mom was actually a donor through, and told them what I wanted to do. And they loved my idea and wanted to participate and have been ever since, which is awesome. And they actually remembered exactly my mom's story and who I was, which was really cool and special. Ever since that day, we've been teaming up with Iowa Donor Network and many of the different OPOs nationwide when we travel across the country. And how we raise awareness and honor all those affected by it is obviously put the logo on the car, but we do much more than that. We put photos of honorees on the car and invite their families to the race as our special honorees. And we also do something really cool called Handprints of Hope Ceremony. And when we do that, we actually take our race car that we're racing that weekend to a special event, if it's at a high school, DMV, hospital, wherever it may be, and let anyone who's a registered organ donor and connected to donation actually paint their hand, place it on our car, and write a message of hope next to it, which, you know, is so cool. It gets so many people involved, and it can be a really strong healing moment for those who are closely connected to donation. And then not only that, we normally get a lot of media at the event, but then also a lot of turning a lot of heads and media at the racetrack as well, because it's rare to see handprints or pictures all over race cars. So when the fans and the media see that, they want to know why that's on the car. And then we get to tell them why, which raises awareness for donation. So it all really works out really well. And it's really, really cool.
Very good. I'll be looking for that. So you're going to be involved in races coming up. I know the Daytona 500 is not too far. Are you going to be in that this year? Is that something you're going to be involved with?
Yeah, actually the Daytona 500, it was actually in February, and I did race in that, and it went really well for our small team. We finished 20th, and we're our highest finishing out of our teammates, which was great, but we're racing in Daytona again for Firecracker 400, which is end of August, and really looking forward to that as well. So basically from August on, I'll be racing in pretty much all the cup races, and then some Xfinity races as well.
Great. And is there a way for our listeners to follow you if they want to keep an eye on you, or you know, just follow your story?
Yeah, absolutely. We have Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and everyone can follow us on there at Joey Gase Racing, and we keep everyone up to date on what we're doing in the racing world, but also what we're doing with all our donation partners as well. And because of COVID, we actually been doing a lot of our Handprints of Hope events virtually. So anyone from anywhere can actually participate and submit their message of hope. And when we do that, we definitely put that on our social media to get everyone to participate. And those actual messages of hope will end up on our race car. And we share those pictures on our social media as well.
Great. And I'll put your information on our podcast notes for that. I really thank you for all that. Is there any last second message you want to send out to our listeners as far as what they could do for organ donation?
Yeah, you know, just thank you to everyone who listened. And also, you know, if you're not a registered organ donor, I always ask people why. And, you know, normally they can't tell me or themselves why. And I always say, well, if you can't, don't you think that's pretty silly that you're not a donor? And you know, that if someone does give me a reason, normally the reason why is either false or a misconception that they hear on a TV show. So, and you know, the biggest one is, or the biggest two, I would say, is if I'm an organ donor, the doctor's not going to do everything they can to save me, which is the farthest from the truth. And, you know, even though Grey's Anatomy may portray it differently, which luckily Grey's Anatomy, for the most part, has a lot of great things about organ donation, but the doctors are completely different. They're not the same at all. And, you know, the other thing is that I'm too old or I'm sick or I can't do it. And, you know, some cases that may be true, but that's not a reason not to register. We always let the doctors decide, and they're not going to take your organs if they can't use them. And trust me, it's a very, very thorough process for sure for that to happen.
Yeah. And as you pointed out, as difficult it is to discuss those things, even newborns and older people, there are instances where parts of their bodies can be donated in the case of deceased donors. So yeah, you're absolutely right about that. There is not necessarily an age frame for that. So thanks for pointing that out. This has been a great honor for me to have you, and I really appreciate your time, taking the time out to be with me today. I want to thank you for everything that you do for the local community and our global organ donation community. And I hope we can do this again soon.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on, and have a great day.
Yeah, thank you. That is our podcast for today. Please join me next time for another intriguing, informative, and entertaining conversation. Please visit our website at www.drhearttoheart.net for upcoming podcasts, or if you'd like me to host an online presentation for your group or organization. If you'd like to be a guest on the Heart Guy Presents the Heart of the Matter podcast, please email me at theheartguyspeaks@gmail.com. Our podcast can be found on Apple iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and all you have to do is search The Heart Guy Presents The Heart of the Matter. And this is Dr. Gary Sherman, The Heart Guy, wishing you peace and hope.